afternoon. Thanks so much for tuning in today. I'm Suzy Larson, and this is Live the Promise, and we are here to help you engage in a strong and active walk of faith. So glad you tuned in. Hope you're having a great day. Well, if you're married, I have a question for you. Do you have a dream in your heart? You've got to have a dream in your heart, right? Do you have a dream in your heart? And the question after that is, does your spouse support your dreams? I remember when we were dating, my hubby and I, and he asked me about a dream in my heart. And I said, well, one of my dreams is to be a football trainer. And he said, what? And I'm like, you know, the person who runs out on the field in these NFL games when the players hurt and they assess the damage and they help kind of put them back together. I want to be that person. And he said, nope. Now, I kind of wanted to be that, but I had a lot of other dreams as well. But I was maybe provoking him a tiny bit, but it just is one of those things. But just the other day, I was watching an NFL game, and a girl ran out on the field with the team to help the player who was down and hurt. So it is possible, I'm saying. It's just one of the many things I wanted to do. But anyway, today we'll be talking to Dr. Greg and Aaron Smalley about true dreams, really the ones that are God-given in your heart, and what happens if a spouse doesn't support that dream. Now, I was joking with my hubby, although I was partially telling the truth, because I just love fitness and love health and love athletics, and I think it would be an awesome job, but it's like number 10 on my list. And if that would have been number one, I'm pretty sure he would have supported me. But we're going to talk about what it means to have a dream in your heart and how important it is to be in sync with each other as a couple. We'll get the Smalleys on here in just a moment. A couple quick announcements for you, though. Next week is our fall share, and I love this time of year. I love our share events because we just look back and reminisce at what God has done, and we marvel, you know, and then we look ahead and dream about what he might do. And together we cast a vision for where we might go, and we ask you to join us. So would you be prayerfully considering your involvement in reaching the world for Jesus Christ? And super excited about that. That's just next week. It's right around the bend. Also, we've got FM signals popping up all over the place, and we're so excited. So if you're tuning in on one of our new signals, I want to give a shout out to you. Maybe you're listening in on 94.1 FM in Hartford, or 93.1 FM in Waterloo, or 104.7 FM in Madison. We've also got two FM signals in the Twin Cities area, 90.7 and 97.5, covering different parts of the cities. Or maybe you're streaming online. No matter where you're listening from, we're so honored to have you listening and glad to be part of your family. So let me tell you about my guests, and we'll get them on the show. Dr. Greg Smalley serves as Vice President of Marriage and Family Formation at Focus on the Family. He's written many, many books. He also speaks with his wife. They do marriage intensives, marriage seminars. I will just tell you, as a personal friend who's done events with them, they're fantastic on the stage if you need a couple for a future event. Aaron Smalley serves as Strategic Marriage Spokesperson for Focus on the Family. She's also, as I said, an author and a speaker, and they minister together. They live in Colorado Springs. They've got four children and a son-in-law, and I'm someday soon, I'm thinking, grandbabies, because guess what? I'm going to be a grandma. Anyway, I'm just going to insert that, you guys, as many times as I can today. So welcome to the show.
Hey, thank you so much for having us, and way to rub the fact that you're going to be a grandparent in our face.
Oh, it's about for her. We do have a grand dog.
Yes.
That's true.
That's huge.
Super exciting.
Yes, I'm
telling
you. But
I would take a grandbaby.
Well, we tried not to push our kids too hard, but we bought this little statue, water statue on Amazon Prime. It's a boy and a girl, and we got free shipping. So we texted our kids and said, we don't need grandkids for now. No pressure. We bought some on Amazon for free shipping. And we haven't named them yet, and we sent a picture, and that was like a year ago, and they're all giving us the eye roll. But now we've got one that's expecting. So, yay.
Seriously, congratulations.
Yes, that's amazing.
Super excited. Well, love you guys so much. So you know you've been on the show a gazillion times. Do you have a verse for me today that you've been thinking about?
Yes. Mine is John 15:5. I am the vine, you are the branches. If a man remains in me and I in him, he will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. Mm. I just love that verse. It's one that, you know, of course, we've all been exposed to and probably memorized. And I just love that when we continue to stand in him, that we allow him to prevail in us, that we bear much fruit. And so often we try to do things in our own will, in our own way, but, you know, step back and let him do it.
Yeah.
I just love the thought that I can depend on him to do it, to allow me to bear much fruit.
You know what else I love about that passage in John 15, Aaron, is, you know, Jesus says, it's to my Father's glory that you bear much fruit, and fruit that lasts. And I always think, you know, the fact that he wants us to make a mark on this world that outlives us, that our fruit is bearing fruit, So somebody can say, who started that counseling practice, or who started those marriage intensives, or why? How did your marriage get saved? And people can point back back to somehow God weaving us in that storyline. I mean, what an honor, you know?
Mm-hmm. It sure is.
Wow, love it. Okay, Greg, how about you?
Yeah, I love Philippians 2:2. So in light of what we want to talk about today, about dreaming together, but what happens when you don't support, you know, your spouse's dreams, Philippians 2:2 says, "Then make me truly happy by agreeing wholeheartedly with each other, loving one another, and working together with one mind and purpose." And there is something so powerful when a couple supports each other and wholeheartedly agree with one another in their unified on the direction that they're going. I mean, that's a powerful force.
Indeed. Wow. So you heard my opening monologue about wanting to be a football trainer.
I don't think I've ever heard that.
I have not heard that either.
It was like one of number 10, but the bad person in me was provoking him to see how high his eyebrows would go. And yeah, they went to like the middle of his head.
He became a unibrow.
He totally did. Bless his sweet little heart. But anyway, I want to talk about your dreams and how you guys process those.
Yeah, I remember very clearly when Erin and I were dating. She at one point we were talking just about the future and some of our goals and dreams, aspirations, those kinds of things. And she shared one that I had never heard before. And at the time, it seemed very simple and no-brainer. I was able to easily agree with her. But later on in our life, it definitely created some challenges that we had to work through.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and it seemed like a not – well, I knew it would be a big deal, but I knew that I couldn't marry somebody unless they were willing to agree.
And that I'm sure, was too. I just have to interrupt real quick. I'm sure with the stars in his eyes, he's like, okay, whatever you say.
No, whatever.
Seriously, had she said she wanted to be a football trainer, I would have thought, okay,
I actually wanted to be the first woman in the NBA. So whether Greg supported that or not, that wasn't going to happen.
All 5-6 of her.
Yeah. Hey, anything can happen, Greg. Anything.
That's right. That was before the WNBA.
That came out of nowhere. I need to recover.
She's laughing at you, Erin.
I tickled her.
I did not see that coming. Anyway, okay, back on track.
It went hand in hand with your football
exactly.
trainer.
Totally did.
Yeah.
Okay, my face hurts. All right. So what was your real dream?
Oh my real dream was to adopt a little girl because I had been adopted, and we've talked about this on the show before. I was adopted, and I just wanted to give that to someone else because it had been such a positive experience in my life and really desired that. And Greg, of course, at that point was ademantly in agreement with it.
Mm. Absolutely. I mean, God wants us to do this, that the pure religion, taking care of orphans, widows. So, I mean, I got all that. It just it didn't necessarily – I didn't understand what that actually meant. And at the time, sure, that sounds great. I'll adopt 20 kids. What does it take to get you to wear the ring I have for you on your finger?
So, Greg, I want to know, you have your kids. Is there any point before, because there was a space between your biological kids and between adopting Annie, was there any time in those years that you were bringing that dream back to Erin? Or were you was it on the back burner until she brought it up?
You know, every once in a while we would talk about it. One of the things that Erin and I do well is we love to have just meaningful conversation. And so a lot of times we'll ask each other, you know, what's God calling you to do? What are you dreaming about? What are you hoping will happen? We ask each other that. And so, you know, over the years, she would bring it up. We would be having one of those conversations, and I'd hear about, you know, I can't let go of this. It's something that I really want to do. And I love hearing Erin's dreams to come around and support her. You know, one of her dreams was to get her master's degree in counseling. She was a labor and delivery nurse for many, many years. And so as we would talk about, you know, what's on your heart? What are you excited about, passionate about? She'd say, I want to be a counselor. Awesome. We kind of even agreed, hey, I'll finish my doctorate. When I'm done and able to work and support us, then let's get you right into school. And she did that. And I love supporting. I took a job straight out of graduate school that would allow me to stay home on Mondays so that she could go to school. And I'll never forget her. It was her graduation. And I was teaching at this university that she got her master's degree from. And the president of the school said, "Hey, I hear your wife is one of our graduates this year. Congratulations. Would you like to be the one to hood her?" Mm-hmm. So when you get your master's degree, whatever, I don't even know what the tradition is, but that you kind of put this hood, this robe-looking hood over that person getting their master's degree to signify whatever. But it's a tradition. So he said, "Would you like to do that?" I said, "That'd be a blast."
Notice that he didn't ask me. And I happened to have been the one that had worked really hard for 2 years, and it was my graduation day.
Hey, it's the president of the university. What are you supposed to say? He was my boss. So I said, "I'd love to do that." I went to Erin. I said, "Hey, I get to be the one to hood you." And she's like, "Oh, okay." She's like, "I don't even know what that means either." But I said, "Hey, after I hood you, the tradition is that you turn around, face that professor, and you shake hands." And I said, "But we're not going to shake hands." I said, "We're going to kiss." And so she goes, "You will not." And I said, "I will. So don't embarrass us in front of all these people. It's going to happen. Let it happen."
This is like a super conservative Christian school.
Oh, I love it.
No public display of affection. Mm. And, you know, and so here we are in front of, 3,000 of our best friends, and he proceeds to hood me and then flips me around, dips me, and lays this long kiss on me, and you hear the utter shock in the audience. They're gasping. And suddenly my graduation day became a complete catastrophe. I was like, "Oh, so embarrassed because I'm such a rule follower."
Yes, yes, me too. Wow.
It became scandalous.
I love it, though.
To the where the president had to say, "Would everybody relax? That's her husband." Then you hear the whole,
"Oh, that's sweet."
But for moments, we were scandalous.
Yeah, just what I
Which
wanted to be
Greg
on my graduation day.
So you had your dream to get your master's to become a counselor. He had a dream to scandalize you on a stage for a moment to let people know.
See, we're dream makers for
one dream makers. That's fantastic. And there's more dreams to come. And talking about adoption and how eventually it came back around. And wow, there's a lot to talk about here. And as we talk about the dreams that God put on Greg and Erin's heart, we're going to talk about some of the dreams God's put on your heart. And what do you do if you're not kind of equally matched, where your spouse doesn't see it the way you do? How do you navigate those waters? We'll talk about that, too, when we return. Don't go away. We'll be back in a minute. Love that song. Can't get enough of it. Thanks for tuning in. I'm Susie Larson. This is Live the Promise. I have my friends, Dr. Greg and Erin Smalley from Focus on the Family. They join us a couple times a month. Today we're talking about dreams in our hearts, especially when you're married and maybe your spouse doesn't exactly support your dreams. And so before the break, we had a very good laugh about some of the things we've been dreaming about, but truly this is a serious topic. And you've talked about, Erin, when you were dating Greg, you had a very serious dream as a girl who was adopted, and just so grateful to your adoptive parents. You wanted to be someone to return that favor, and that's one thing you communicated very clearly to Greg. And he said, "Absolutely," and he admits that he did have stars in his eyes. So talk about when it started to come back around for you to real life, but maybe it wasn't so much Greg's dream anymore.
Yeah, and Susie, it was interesting because we kind of went through the years, and I variated, and he variated, and you know, I would say, because I mean, I think often when we have these dreams, they're in our spouse doesn't support us, we may be doubting it anyway, or scared to step out and scared to step out in faith. So for me, I was, you know, there was different times that I was more bold with it. But I can remember specifically a time when I was bold with it and talked to Greg, and he just was very hesitant. And we had 3 biological children, and things were, I mean, we were kind of good. We were kind of settled with the number of children we had, and we were starting to minister together. And so he really didn't want to pursue another child at that point.
And it's obviously, Susie, caused some friction mm-hmm. between us. And, you know, but you promised and you told me, you know, before we got married that we could do this. And I was like, something's going on for me. What I appreciated, though, is that Erin could have jumped into kind of sales pitch mode. She could have tried to convince me. She could have tried to manipulate me. She could have started crying, saying, then forget it. You obviously don't support me. You don't care about my dreams. But what I appreciated that she did is that she said, well, help me better understand what is really going on for you. And I had honestly no idea. I just knew that I just didn't feel a peace about it. And she genuinely really said, let's figure this out. Let's gain some awareness. What's truly going on for you? And the more we talked, the more I focused in on just how, you know, fairly peaceful our lives had become. Our kids were older, our three biological kids. We were in a great season of ministering together, doing marriage seminars. And I didn't, that's what I was afraid of giving up. I thought if we adopt this child, then we're not going to be able to minister together. We're going to have to go all the way back to the infant toddler stage. And it just, that was no longer appealing to me. It was kind of like we did that. We're out of that, and look what we're doing now. And we were on a trajectory to be empty nesters, you know, in our early 50s. And that all, it just scared me.
I totally understand it, you know, and I love that you guys could do that to say, something's going on for me. Help me understand what's going on, because it takes the defenses down, and there's a sincere desire to just get to the root of the issue, you know?
Yeah, and I can remember that we had worked with so many couples that somebody had pushed really hard for something, for a dream or for a move or for a job change, or, you know, they pushed hard. And I just had seen too many couples that one had been left feeling bitter and resentful. And so I knew that I didn't want to do that. So I really, really genuinely tried to understand what was causing him to be hesitant. And really, we entered into a season of prayer. But I had to really understand that if my husband's not on board with this, then we cannot proceed forward.
Yeah, it's either we do it as a team or we're not moving forward.
Mm-hmm. So when you think of Greg's reasons, Erin, you think about that when you're in a mode, you guys are starting to minister together, and knowing, having parented three other children, those were true things that were going to be kind of upended. Did they just kind of, were they second to this burning desire to adopt for you?
You know what? It really, I think him being hesitant about it really didn't matter what the reason was, because I wanted there to be enough room for both of us in this decision. And so the fact that he had hesitations made me just step back, because I knew that if this was of God, that God would change his heart and that God would do the work in him, and that he would come forward and say, yes, this is something we are being called to do. And so really the reasons made sense to me. I understood those. I mean, honestly, I had some of the same concerns, but I think I was more motivated and more driven to do this.
So,
and
Greg.
Susie, for me, I'll never forget the conversation I had with a mentor. And this was an older man in my life who is, over the years, has spoken such truth into my life. And I was kind of lamenting all this to him and just saying, you know, look what we're going to give up. And we have no idea if there's other problems, you know, adopting a child. I mean, I had no idea. And I love how my mentor really, really challenged me in a sense of going, Greg, you're, as a husband, you're called to sacrifice for your wife. And I hear that part of your fear is you're going to give up sort of this peaceful life, this trajectory to be, you know, empty nest, you know, a relatively young age. He said, might this be an opportunity to really put into action what you preach, which is to love your wife like Christ loved the church. And man, I was so mad at him. I was like, how dare you throw that in my face? Come on.
But did it settle into your soul in a truthful way?
It did.
Yeah.
You know, I really sat there, and that's what I began to wrestle with, going, man, this really is an opportunity to give up something that I valued, which was, you know, our ministering together, just this stage of life that we were in, because I value her more. And when I talk to other husbands or even spouses who are wrestling with, you know, my spouse wants to do this, this is the dream, that's always my first thing to them is to say, listen, you have to agree that you're not going to move forward unless you guys are united. So that's a given. But man, this is an opportunity for you to really, truly sacrifice. And that's the highest act of love. And I was able to get to actually a pretty good place around going, why can't I? Yeah. Why couldn't I sacrifice? What's wrong with that? But I had to get to a place to where that wasn't just me passive aggressively or just kind of placating to Erin, that it had to be something that I really believed I was doing, that gift I was giving her. And we had that conversation, and I just kind of laid it out that way of saying, you know, this, you matter to me. What you feel God's calling you and this dream you put in your heart, that all matters. And I want to give to this. And how I can give to this is by stepping back and going backwards in parenting season.
You know, I was thinking as you guys are talking in scripture, I think it's Romans 12, offer yourselves as a living sacrifice, which means a willing sacrifice. It's somebody who willingly says, I'm laying my life down. And in that place, you know, in death, there's resurrection power. And opposite of that, scripture talks about don't give grudgingly or hastily. So don't give too quickly without thinking about it. Or grudgingly, like you resent it, because there's really no blessing in that. So for you guys to give each other the kind of space so that, Erin, you're not twisting his arm, you're not guilting him, you know, you're giving him space. So Greg could offer himself as a living sacrifice to the Lord ultimately, but also to you. Then there's a fragrance. Then there's a power. Then there's a grace. That's so different than the arm bending you were talking about, Erin, that you've seen with other couples. Mm-hmm. It just never bears fruit. And I'm kind of overconnecting here, but it goes back to your verse that you opened with about abiding in the vine and bearing much fruit. Ultimately, that's what we're called to do, is to bear much fruit. And there's no fruit of manipulation and guilting, you know?
Right. But I will say to the spouse that is having hesitations about whatever it is, they have to be courageous enough to step forward and say, I don't have a peace.
Yeah.
I don't agree. Because it's okay to have a differing opinion. Because if it's supposed to change, God will do that.
And don't you think that, and we're going to break here, but sometimes that's a safety measure. If they don't have the peace, then it's a not yet. And I know you both are really big on if it's a win for you and a loss for me, it's a loss for the team. We'll talk about even what that looks like on either side. Just give some practical application of what to do when your spouse doesn't support your dreams. Talking to Dr. Greg and Erin Smalley of Focus on the Family, and we will be back in a minute. Can't not move to that song. Thanks for tuning in. I'm Susie Larson. This is Live the Promise. Have my good friends Dr. Greg and Erin Smalley from Focus on the Family joining me today. They join us about every other week. So glad to have them with us. And we're talking today about when you have a dream in your heart, and maybe your spouse doesn't support the dream, or maybe they're just feeling, I don't have a peace yet. This is sort of a not yet. And Erin, you made such a wise observation years ago as you were pondering the timing of a dream of adopting, that Greg kind of was feeling kind of a need to push pause on, that you'd seen other couples where one spouse sort of arm twisted and guilted their way to their outcome, but it didn't bear the kind of fruit that they were hoping. And that's just incredible wisdom, I think. So I want you both to speak to this idea, especially someone listening today who feels like their spouse is not supporting their dreams. It's not always that they're just shut down. Sometimes it might just be a not yet. So what do you say?
You know, for me, looking back on that season, What I always appreciated, and we didn't do this perfectly, what I appreciated was the attitude that Erin basically communicated to me was that I support you, and I'm interested in our relationship first and foremost above everything else. So above any dream, above any pursuit, any career goal, any of that, you matter. And I got that loud and clear. And I was just bothered because I didn't feel a peace about something that I knew that was really, really important to her. And so it was very hard for me to be honest, to say, I'm just not there. Every part of me as her husband wanted to please her, wanted to go along with that. But I knew that that wouldn't be genuine. And Aaron and I have made this commitment to each other that we are on the same team. Therefore, we will either win together or we're going to lose together. And we're not interested in losing. We want to win. And that means that both people have to feel good about whatever the decision is. And so you know, I've felt the freedom to push the pause button and just say, can we step back? And yet I was clueless on what was going on. So the more that we talked about what was really, really going on, the more I understood that I was afraid to give up where we were. And yet, you know, I realized that part of my opportunity was to sacrifice for her. Ultimately, she came back and just said, how could we both adopt and make sure that we don't have to give up on our marriage ministry? Because the more we talked, that was really the issue for me. I loved ministering with her, and I was afraid that another child would take that opportunity away, even though that would be temporary. I mean, measured by years, not decades, but it still, I just didn't want to give that up. And what was so cool is we prayed about that. We just said, this is the longing of our heart. We want to do both of these things. How do we adopt and still do marriage ministry together? And what was so cool is that we realized that we had a dear single friend who was very committed to our family. And as we shared kind of the struggle that we were going through, she stepped up and said, I'd love to be the one to watch your children, including whoever you adopt, so that you guys could continue to do some limited marriage ministry together. And so it was neat how we both were so committed to being a team that and as we prayed that through, God just provided a way that we both of us could get what we ultimately wanted.
But I can remember during that season just laying things down before the Lord. Laying down the dream to adopt, laying down the marriage ministry, that I was just so convinced that if this was supposed to happen, God would resurrect it. And so in many ways, when Greg wasn't in agreement, I was like, okay, it's a not yet. We're going to lay it down. And if it's supposed to happen, God will make it happen. Matter of fact, during that time I prayed, Lord, we're thinking that we're going to shut this door. But if this is not a door that you want shut, you know, make it so clear that you have another way, that you have something else for us. And it was amazing then when God made it so, so clear that he had this child just for us. And then as we proceeded through the adoption process, and Greg was definitely on board, and I mean, God did it. It wasn't me twisting, convincing, begging. It was God. And as we went through that process and it came time to bring Annie home, it really, for me, I was 100% laying down that I was never going to travel again with him. And I went through a serious grief process. And I can remember sitting by a pool. I think we were in Arizona and it was our last event before we were going to get her. And I can just remember saying, Lord, I don't understand this. I thought this is where you were taking us, but yet I'm very aware that this doesn't seem to be what you have in my future. And I'm going to lay this down and accept that whatever you have for me personally, I'm going to walk in that. And it was amazing again to watch him resurrect that as he provided our friend, our dear friend, who's like part of our family. She ended up moving to Colorado with us. And it's just been an amazing thing to watch, knowing that now I have total peace about what we do because I know it is of God.
It's so powerful, you guys, when you talk about just the whole idea of surrender, of laying down your life, laying down your dreams. I remember when the opportunity 12 years ago came to start to do radio, I can't tell you how many people said, well, you'll ruin your career, so to speak, as an author and as a speaker because you're on the wrong side of the mic, so to speak. And when it came time for me to step into my own show, I heard that loud and clear. And so I, too, I laid, and this is different outside the context of marriage, but laid down the idea of writing more books or speaking, and just thought, I don't understand it, but I feel the peace of God leading me this way, so I'll leave it up to Him. And I'll just say, I've written more books since in the 7 years this show has been in place than before. I mean, the point being that so often we put a period where God is still writing a sentence, or we make a decision about something because we don't see it all. But that's why surrender is necessary, that we trust God. I mean, look at the fruit that has come out. And Annie was always meant to be a smallie. I mean, just the little sass in that little girl.
She's a lot like Greg, isn't she?
She's exactly like Greg.
She's a skinnier version of me.
Every picture you see, like, she's got her little hand on her hip. She's just got so much attitude. Yep. Love that girl. But look what God has done because of the way you both navigated, you know?
And there was, you know, I would hate for anybody to hear this story and just go, well, that's great. Everything worked out so perfect for the Smalleys and so Pollyannish. And this none of this was without pain.
Yeah.
I mean, this was not easy. I mean, we're telling this in a very simplistic way almost. Mm-hmm. But as I look back, I mean, there were moments that I just, I was so frustrated and I was so afraid and I was so concerned that our lives were ruined now. Just everything that we'd built was over. And yet looking back, I tell you, if you're willing to adopt a no losers policy, in other words, we don't make decisions like this unless both people feel good about it. And it doesn't matter how long that takes. We were going to work at it. It felt so safe to me that what it did is that it created a level of safety and security with Erin that I'm still reaping benefit from that. I mean,
that's
I
amazing.
Get that now that she's willing to lay something aside that she was really wanting to go, you're my teammate and we're going to win in this thing. Let's figure this out. And it doesn't mean that she had to give up what she wanted, because in turn I was saying, yeah, so I'm not saying let's just walk away from this. I'm just saying let's call a timeout, mm-hmm. you know, as a team, walk over to our sideline, huddle up, and let's just start to figure this thing out. And it took, Erin, this was not like a day's conversation.
Mm-mm.
This took how long? I mean, I can't remember, but how long did it take for us to really pray this thing through, talk this thing through?
Well, years. But then when it actually came time to finding out about Annie, it was about 16 months. And the wild thing during that time was that there were different times that I was so concerned and so fearful and so just, you know, how is this going to work? I just can't imagine how this is going to work. And those were the times that my teammate was able to step in and say, This is how it's going to work. This is how we're going to do this. And I just so saw the power of when you have two people, when one falls down, when one is weak, the other is strong. And in the same breath, I can remember being gone one weekend and Greg worked on adoption paperwork the whole weekend. And when I got home, he just looked at me and said, now you understand, you know, what Annie has going on. Like, you know, she's got a cleft lip and palate and, you know, she was born with amniotic band syndrome, and he had done all the research all weekend, really understanding what this meant. And at that point, I was like, no, I'm a nurse. I had done plenty of research on it, and I knew exactly what it meant. And in that time, I was strong and able to assure him, you know what, I can do this. I can handle arranging doctor appointments. But it was just amazing to me just how we would flip-flop. But it was the power that we were on each other's side. We were working at this together, and when one of us was weak, the other was strong.
Fantastic. Well, what do you say? I would love for both of you to speak to the person listening today. Advice for the person who's like, I know this is from God, and they're still so hesitant. And we've got a few minutes to our last break, so maybe one, and then we'll take the other after the break. So you guys can pick, point to each other, which one wants to go first?
That's what we're doing.
Yeah,
I'm going first.
She won.
It's for me.
Yes.
You know what I would say to them, Susie, is lay it down. Mm-hmm. If your spouse is not on board and supportive of whatever the dream is, it is not worth causing your household to be divided. Lay it down for a season. Take time to pray individually, pray together, seek wisdom, spend time in the Word. He's going to confirm it. And as you walk, you just don't know what God is going to do in their heart and what God is going to do in your heart or what redirection God is going to bring, because He is faithful. He will lead and guide whatever it is. And if it doesn't resurrect, then it wasn't His plan. Mm. So it's so important. Do not move forward when you are not unified.
Do not move forward when you are not unified. And this, I'm telling you, wow, the things that we would save ourselves from if we just stop pushing our way through and trusting, cease striving, and know that He is God. Okay, when we come back, we'll hear, Greg, your advice for that same person who's been feeling kind of the angst, feeling like this is God-inspired. And just because it is a God idea might not mean it's a now idea. So we'll talk more about that and how to walk it out with your spouse if your spouse doesn't support your dreams. Back in a minute. Having a great day. Thanks for tuning in. I'm Susie Larson. This is Live the Promise. Talking to my good friends, Dr. Greg and Aaron Smalley of Focus on the Family. Got a really interesting topic we've just been discussing over this past hour about what to do when you have a dream in your heart, but your spouse is not really in support. Or maybe they're just saying, I still am in support, but it just doesn't feel right. It's a not yet. And Greg, I asked Aaron before the break advice for that person who feels like, I know this is from God. I don't know why they're not on board. And she said, lay it down and trust God to resurrect it. And if He doesn't, it wasn't His, but He can do anything in His timing, in His way. What would you add to that?
Well, we serve a God of unity.
Yeah.
And we should never forget that.
That's good.
If we are disunified, then something's going on, and that should be absolutely our red flag to step back, because the process of how you make a decision is way more important than the ultimate decision. And so how Aaron and I chose to work this thing through, it did far more for our marriage than simply bringing an adopted child into our family. I mean, as amazing as that is, I tell you, this making this decision and how we did it rocked our world. It shored up some areas that we need to grow in. For me, a big one was just really, I learned how to be a different man of prayer through this. And it solidified just trust and security that we have in each other, that we, when we say we're a team, that's not lip service. I mean, this was an opportunity to prove it. Okay, you tell me you're my teammate and that the only acceptable solution is something that feels good to both of us, so show me, because it doesn't feel good right now. And so just the opportunity to talk this through and to allow both people to be included in the marriage, to have opinions and fears, and God's going to grow us. God grew me through this. I learned so much about me and trusting Him and sacrificing for my wife. That's why step back and just trust that this God of unity will walk you through a process that will ultimately change your marriage for the better.
Boy, and you know, there's something too that needs to be said here for those who don't know the backstory in adopting Annie. I think it's a good lesson for all of us, because we so often to think we're going to be okay when this dream comes true, as if life's going to be tied up in a nice bow then, in a way that it's not now. But every new dream has its battles and its trials. And it's like, you know, I think it's Old Testament talks about how God left giants in the land so the Israelites would know how to battle. And if you're not in sync with each other and you get to that place of promise and then the battle hits, you'll turn on each other. One of them will be like, this was your dream and you dragged us here. You know what I'm saying? But to be in sync, as you said, Aaron, when one's down, the other's up. Because what happened with Annie was here, even though this sort of originated in Aaron's heart, I would say, is just as a girl who was adopted. At first, if I remember right, Annie was preferred Greg over Aaron. Is that right?
Thanks for bringing that up.
Sorry.
I mean, yeah. Do you blame her? Yeah. Susie, really?
And it was a strong preference.
You know, How shall I say this lightly?
Yes. Yeah. It was, I mean, it was 6 weeks of her not allowing me to touch her. Mm. And it was the most difficult thing, because I literally would just look up and say, God, really? I mean, you've made it so clear that this is what you have for me. And so I'm here. And every day I would pray, this is the day, Lord, that she is going to let me hold her.
Well, imagine too, if we had not been unified ultimately in the decision, I was the only one that she would let take care of her. So could you imagine that being all resentful and mad, now I'm the one that has to take care of her.
A long 15-hour flight from Beijing.
Yeah, wow. Just me and Annie, a toddler who would not sleep.
I slept quite a bit.
Who spoke no English.
Yeah, and the thing is, as your listeners are hearing this, I'm sure some of them here, you know, lay it down, let God do it, and they're probably thinking, yeah, right, God's not going to tell me anything, or this is just going to die. And all I can say is that God showed up in ways that we could never have imagined in the details that, you know, we had prayed by name for an Annie. He brought us an Annie from the other side of the world. She was already named Annie. We never dreamt that. Her date of birth lined up, that all of our kids are born in the 23rd and the 30th of April and August. And Annie, we always said, you know, 23rd or 30th, July 23rd was her birthday.
Wow.
Her middle name was Rose. And we found out that her main attachment, her mama for those 3 years in the orphanage, her name was Rose in China. So if you are sitting there doubting, the thing that I can say is that when God has a plan and he is leading you there, he is in the details. And so I knew beyond a shadow of a doubt that this was him, that he brought us to this child. I was with Annie this weekend on a mother-daughter retreat trip, and they asked us to write letters to our child and to read them over them. And I started it with, I'm so thankful that we found you. And then I kind of X'd out and I said, or you found us. Mm. And I X'd out and then I said, or that God brought you to us. Mm. I'm not sure how it happened, but I do know that God orchestrated it and God brought us. Of course, reading that letter over her, I was snot sobbing. And then she looked at me and she goes, are you crying? Yes, Annie, I am. And she starts bawling. Mm. So it was just a precious, she has the story that God wrote. And those stories speak, and that God knows that story is going to lead many to Christ as she embraces what God did. And, you know, for me, whenever we talk about this, it just inspires me to trust more, to push deeper, to go deeper with him, that he knows and that he is in those details. And he knows when we need to know those details and the confirmations. And he knew that that's what we both needed.
Boy. So good.
And Susie, and I would say, to both spouses, so if you're the spouse with the dream that you don't feel is being supported, remember, just choose your relationship over the dream. Mm-hmm. Choose the unity and let this process unfold and trust, as Aaron was talking about. But if you're that spouse who doesn't have a peace, my biggest encouragement is don't let your answer be, no, I don't feel good about this. I don't want this. The answer is no. Remember, you guys are a team. My answer could never have been to Aaron, hey, we're not adopted. I don't feel good about it. So the answer is no. What I said to her was that you're my teammate and we'll figure out something that feels good to both of us. Now, I had no idea what that would be. and you don't have to know at that moment. But as long as you set that up as the goal, we will find something that feels good to both of us. Both of us then feel safe and secure. We believe then that we are teammates and that we're going to figure this out. It opens hearts. It brings creativity. It allows you to go seek advice and accept influence from one another. It's the right path to eventually figure out something that's going to feel good to both of you.
Well, I wonder too for you both, because here you know, especially Greg, you were thinking, we've already hit our stride, our kids are a little bit older, we do this on the road marriage ministry thing that there's major life in for both of you, and you're, you know, no stranger to little ones, so thinking, I'm going back to toddler stage, that will upend this part of our life that I get so much life from. I would love to know, just with the few minutes we have left, from both of you, I mean, because you did obviously go through the storm of reacclimating to a little one, especially one who battled attachments to you, Aaron, and there was a story behind that as well, but she eventually, now she, you're her mama like nothing. Oh, yeah. But truly, mm-hmm. How has that impacted the speaking ministry that God has really, you know, really never took away? But I mean, I'd love to know, how did it impact it after the fact?
You know, for me, Susie, I eventually had to lay that part down, believing, God, if you're calling us to do this, and this is something, this is a vision, a dream you've given to both of us to also to do marriage ministry, that it's just not going to die because we take a step back and go back to toddlerhood. And that was hard. And yet I fully trusted. And that's what I'm saying. Along the way, God brought us someone who is so amazing to watch our kids, and who's done that now for, Aaron, 10 years?
10 years.
Who's created stability for our kids, that when we go off to minister for a weekend, we don't do a ton of these, but when we go off, they've been doing this so long, they have their own little routine. Mm-hmm. And everybody gets, I mean, that what a gift. I mean, we could not have ever come up with that on our own. So what it did for me is it created so much more trust even in God, going, you know what, you lay these fears down and you take a step of faith and you sacrifice, I've got you. And he's done that in spades.
Mm-hmm. And I definitely see, Susie, that this story that we have been entrusted with in this child, that has allowed my ministry to expand in so many ways. I'm an older mom with a younger child now. I was just on this last weekend, I was with another mom and daughter, Annie's little friend, and the mom is 17 years younger than me. And so it's provided this avenue that I have a ministry with these younger moms. And I love it because they look at me and they say, well, you've lived through teenager years with girls and on, and they want my input. And then even just last week, our friends got a phone call, and there was a birth mom in labor who had chosen them. They were on an adoption wait list, had chosen them to come and take her baby, to be in the room as she delivered. And the amazing thing is we went up to the hospital after their little boy was born, and I just had this overwhelming sense of, can I meet this birth mom? I would love to meet her and just affirm her. And if I can tell her my story, our stories were identical as far as her situation and my birth mom's situation. And I just will never forget for the rest of my life sitting on that hospital bed with my friend and this birth mom holding this baby, this beautiful baby boy, and sitting and just sharing with her that, you know what, I was given up for the same reason you're giving your baby boy up. And I'm not bitter and I'm not angry. And it actually has led me to adopt. And literally this birth mom's eyes were just huge, just fixated on my story. And the social worker later told us that was a huge influencing factor in her being able to walk out of that hospital in peace, leaving this baby boy with our friend. And it was one of those moments that I wanted to stop time, as my friend then said, hey, can I pray for you? And she prayed over this birth mama as we all just boo-hooed and tears galore. And, you know, the sweet birth mama, you know, she sacrificed. And she laid down this child's life and gave him to our friends. What an amazing... I was so thankful that I had this story that God had entrusted me with.
And the fact that God would bring you back around full circle, that's not a moment you ever anticipated being able to be a part
Never.
Of. But I want to go back to what you said. We have to wrap here. But when God has a plan and he's leading you, know this, that he's in the details. I just think that was a prophetic word today, Aaron. And here we are at the end of the show. So no time to pray, but it was worth hearing the last part of that story. Thanks, you two, for all that you do. And I just know people were inspired and encouraged today. Bless you both. Love you so much.
Thank you, Susie.
Thank you.
Wow. What a great show today. Well, you've been listening to Live the Promise. I'm Susie Larson. In just a bit, you'll find a podcast of today's program up on our website at myfaithradio.com. Remember this, the Lord wants you to last long and finish strong, and he is the one who'll keep you strong to the end. Have a great day.